Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The lob, and that will do it. Do you believe it? For just the second time ever, a 16 beats a 1.
Tonight, incredible win for us, incredible win for our program, our school. Hard to put into words right now. Honestly, it's really hard to even it just happened, right? But I think an unbelievable credit to Purdue. That's a Big Ten powerhouse. What they do there is incredible. And I kind of felt bad the last couple of days about what I said in the locker room because it was almost like a slight towards Purdue. I have an unbelievable respect for Purdue. I think Purdue's tremendous respect, and for us to beat them tonight in this environment was just an incredible win for us. I'm so proud of the guys, what we've done, what we've accomplished so far.
Tobin Anderson. And isn't it his first year coaching them too? Like, weren't all the things right there for Purdue to win that game and they didn't win the game? I mean, I'm not complaining. I've made quite a bit of money off of Fairleigh Dickinson this past weekend.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. But if you've been paying attention, whether it's Lawrence or others, you've been following what Pete Futek has been doing about having kind of a sense, kind of a feel for what's going on out there. Some magical stuff from our next guest. He is on Twitter at Pete Futek, the publisher of collegefootballnews.com, joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Pete.
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
Oh, and he's on Twitch, too, and he's holding up his San Diego State hoodie.
Let's go, Lawrence Holmes. Let's do this.
Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. You guys are the experts. I'll just eavesdrop.
No. I've had a good run, and the run's been good. But that's about as far as I go. But Pete has been out here. I get Pete and Hub mixed up because remember we saw
Hub.
Oh,
no, really?
Yeah, a lot
really?
Of people do. The same age.
Well, Hub had, you know, Pro Football Weekly and Basketball News at one point.
Basketball News.
So, but Pete, did you have a component of College Football News that was basketball?
No. It just so happens that nobody reads anything to do with college football at this time of year, and everybody reads everything to do with college basketball, and so is a first love. So, hey, you know what? Money don't care where it comes from, so it's where the page views are, and I just so happen to be on an epic bender hot streak here when it comes to picking these things, so just kind of keep it going, but I am so – look – this week, it's all fun. The basketball's awful. No one can hit a three. I'm so ready for better sports, a better sporting thing. I'm ready for the NFL draft. I'm ready for NFL, but let's get through this basketball thing already.
Okay, so what's been fun for you in the first two rounds of the tournament?
I guess, you know what? Look, defense is winning this thing. If we're going to look at, read the room. who's still alive in this? The teams that play killer defense, which is Alabama, San Diego State, Houston, you know, and now we're going to see what goes forward with Michigan State and Texas. And, you know, it just, and more importantly here going forward, I want to see what Tennessee is going to do, because that seems to be the blueprint where Duke came in all shiny and beautiful and athletic.
They left and, bloody.
Exactly. And what did Tennessee do? They just punched him right in the mouth and said, all right, get out of this tournament already. And that's what, you know, all, you know, joking, I don't think San Diego State's actually going to win, but all things aside, has Alabama been punched in the mouth? I don't mean to get throwing violent images when it comes to this team, but they played one physical team all year, Tennessee, and lost. They haven't played anybody. San Diego State's going to go like 19 minutes without scoring in the second half, but they've got a defense. They go nine deep with seniors who have been around for 15 years. So that's the type of team that Alabama, we don't quite know what's going to happen when they have to deal with a physical team. So
you know what I saw with Alabama, Pete? If I were coaching against Alabama, seeing how far they extend their defense in man-to-man, that there are back-cutting. If you ran Princeton against them, because they are on the line and they're up the line. They are in between man and basket and right up on the man. There are, and I know they're good athletes, so there's some NBA guys out there, but the first thing I would do would be patiently looking for that back cut.
And that is all San Diego State can do. They're not explosive. They don't have guys who can just, you know, blast their. Matt Bradley goes about 2 miles an hour with the way he plays. But they've got all these 6'8 guys, you know, athletic guys, and they will just keep going backdoor back, keep cutting back, and they will keep going right to the rim on them. So I'm of two minds. That's going to be the game of this weekend, because that's going to determine everything else. Because if Alabama rips through this, they're through to the Final Four, and then who else are they going, who's going to stop them from there? But this is the one team in San Diego State that could kind of hold up with them. But that defense for Alabama is really good too. And again, throughout this whole tournament, look at the rest of the, what do we got the rest of the way? You got the UConn offense, you got some other good offenses, but it's going to be a whole lot of defense through the rest of this, these final games.
The other thing I would do, number 14 on Alabama, is Charles Bediako. Mm-hmm. He can't really move all that well. Yeah. And I don't think he's been properly involved in high screen roles. Whoever his man is should be a screener. And he should be out there making Bediako go back and forth and turn and go and turn and go. Because that is a liability. If he's allowed to just patrol the paint, and if he's allowed to have short areas in which to work, he's going to be terrific. But you got to stretch him out and make him turn his hips.
Yeah, and that's only going to start coming if the Aztecs can do anything on the move, yep, too. But the problem is with this team is, again, they've got some three-point shooters. They're used to running clock. I mean, this game might be 7-5. I mean, they're going to want to drag this down and make this a defensive fight. So it'll be interesting. But we'll see what we get going forward here, and if the first part of this comes forward. And then the other part of this tournament, too, which we're seeing, a whole lot of dumb. I mean, you brought up Fairleigh Dickinson. You've got the smallest team in the tournament, and you've got the number one, the top player in college basketball, these for this year, is a 7'4 guy who takes one shot in the last 12 minutes. I mean, there's just a whole lot of gacking going on when it comes to these teams when they get in the spotlight of this big moment of this gimmicky tournament thing.
How is Michigan State here in the Sweet 16? Because they look like a solid team throughout the season, but I wasn't thinking that they would have an opportunity to advance this far.
They just all of a sudden turned on the defense. All of a sudden, I always like when the media kind of tries to come up with a narrative, like, oh, Tom Izzo at halftime told his team to play better defense. Like, yeah, ha ha. And then they did. Then they just came out and just are like, okay, we're going to just step up our intensity. And what we're seeing throughout this tournament, too, and it's driving me crazy. You know, I'm going to say nuts. Exactly. Did not say nuts. It's like crazy.
You said it three times.
Thank you. It's nuts. RRR. No one can handle any sort of press. The second you get teams, you know, who have, you know, in the final moments and they have to break the press, they can't do it. you know, everyone's melting down into a puddle in the final seconds, i.e. Virginia. But like, as soon as you start generating any sort of intensity, these backcourts can't handle it, and the three-point shooters really can't handle it. So it just seems to be as simple as Michigan State. I know it sounds cliche, but just seems like they're trying harder.
Is there a coach you really like?
I guess, I mean, Nate Oates. I mean, look what he's doing with this group, as ugly as this is. It's just, he seems to have this team with an attitude. He seems to have this team playing well at the right time. He's got the best guys, and they're playing up to it.
Is that because he's a Wisconsin guy? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, but I'm not.
Were you in class with Nate Oates?
I was not. I did not have anything to do with it. That was actually post me, but... and any coach that takes his shirt off, I'm all for. I like the Eric Musselman, you know, vibe and what he's been doing here. And that Arkansas team, again, that's another team. How is that team here? I mean, there's your argument against the tournament. You got the ninth best team in the SEC, and it's in the Sweet 16. Why? Because it cranked up the intensity. It's just trying harder than everyone else. How'd they do it? I don't know. They just kind of kept playing hard, and all of a sudden they won. So these coaches that seem to have the right mix of being able to get their team to get up that intensity at the right time and then, you know, maybe play to your strengths a little bit.
You know what else it is? It's physical conditioning.
It's got to be.
It's the teams that have run a lot. And I've always said this generally about Bill Self's Kansas teams, that he's had dudes who can run all day. And I think the teams that are able to do what you do and say, hey, try harder, they've got more oxygen and pumping through their bodies, and they're able to do it.
Well, that was the bizarre narrative after the FDU-Purdue thing. All of a sudden, oh my gosh, the Fairleigh Dickinson, with the way they run, they could take the 96 Bulls. I mean, like, Purdue can't run. How did they survive the Big Ten? Like, all that. But then the anomaly to all this is UCLA, who plays like four guys, and they're all hurt, and yet they're still running. And they seem to have guys who can run all day, but they're going to have to run out of gas at some point, too, in this.
How do you explain what UConn's done? Because I feel like that's a team that has just kind of quietly been pretty good all year long.
They've been quietly great. I mean, the Big East has been pretty great. I mean, that's the, you know, for all the, ooh, the Germans, the Big 12, ooh, oh, no. I mean, the Big 12 kind of ducked out pretty easily outside of Texas and what Kansas State did yesterday. The Big East is the one that's rising up. You know, Marquette was probably the best of the bunch, and, you know, they're out now. But UConn, you could make a case that if they're hitting their threes, they might be the most complete team in this thing outside of Alabama. I mean, they play nice defense. They got a big guy in the middle who blocks a whole lot of shots and comes up with a lot of rebounds, so they got the interior presence, and they just kind of keep on scoring and scoring and scoring. So that seems to be the offset to all this defense that's going on, is that they just keep getting up and down the floor with a versatility that goes in a wide variety of ways. And then the other part of this thing too is, when speaking of offense, is what Gonzaga is going to do against UCLA. Because if you got to come into this knowing that they're going to score 80 points somehow. And so sometimes the offenses are just rising up. So either you have to be playing in super intense defense, or you have to have a UConn or Gonzaga-like offense that's just at a whole other level. It's just blowing everyone else out of the water.
So Alabama, obviously, they have been problematic all season long. They're also really, they're also really good. So you've made the case for San Diego State. I feel like San Diego State, even with as good as their defense is, can end up getting blown out in this game.
Possible. Yeah, I'm of two opposite mindsets on this. I'm partially seeing Wisconsin, Kentucky, you know, 2015, whatever that was in the final, where all of a sudden the defense just shows up and just, you know, they're in an underdog role. What do you want in the NCAA tournament? Old guys, good guards, and that's in defense, and that's what they got. Or there's the flip side of that, which is that, yeah, like I said, no joke, San Diego State's got a way of just stop not scoring for a while. And this is where the depth kind of becomes a problem, where they do go nine deep. And so all of a sudden they get into a groove of some sort, and then they just replace them with four new guys, and they kind of lose their offensive continuity and what was working. And then it's a whole new set of skill guys who come out there, and it's a different look. So And Alabama plays a lot of defense too. So there is a chance. I think San Diego State hangs for a while, but again, there's going to be a run of about 7 or 8 minutes where they just don't score.
Princeton's been a joy to watch, and just looking at how in control they seem to be, how they're comfortable and they execute, and at some point the actual quality of athlete is going to matter. Is this the game when it does?
Maybe. But look, they're tested. They were pretty good in the non-conference season too. And you know, Yale was the team that was kind of ripping through everyone in the Ivy, and then Princeton shut it down. But look, if you just get on the boards, rebound well, and make your threes, you can kind of hang around, and they're not melting down. And some of you're seeing team after team, it seems like they're buckling under the pressure, and Princeton's kind of having that, we don't care. We're just going to kind of, you know, we're here, we're winning, this is great, let's just keep on going with this. And you're right, at some point, it all comes to breakfast when it comes to this. You know, you show me a 15 seed that gets into Sweet 16, and there is an 85-54 game coming up soon here. But it's been fun. It's been, you know, it's been nice to see these kids who have no advantages in life, who are going to be future captains of industry and stuff, finally do something important with their world. So,
what was your favorite win of the first week?
I kind of dug the Arkansas win. I kind of like the way that they just sort of, oh, wait a minute, we just sort of won, and their coach goes bat spit crazy and, you know, does his shirt off thing, and the whole crowd's going nuts, and Arkansas now, you know, their fan base is going crazy. So I've enjoyed what Arkansas did. And
not what I mean. I mean, of your picks, which was your favorite win?
I don't bet, but I do pick things that make better. I will say that the last two games of last night, when TCU pulled off that miraculous thing at the end, I'm sure, I don't know if you're aware of what happened in the investment community last night. That was one of those moments where that just transcended all basketball and sports, where that is an all-timer bad beat if you had Gonzaga, and an all-time Christmas in March for TCU. But I had TCU actually winning that game, so at least covering. And that kid hitting that shot with 0.7 to go, that was probably my favorite NCAA tournament moment so far.
All right.
That and the missed Florida Atlantic dunk, which also didn't cover the point total.
Roll on, Pete Futek. Have fun with this stuff.
Absolutely. You guys have a great one.
That's Pete Futek, publisher of collegefootballnews.com.
Hey, our people keep showing us that they're versatile. So damn right we're going to put Pete Futek on to talk college basketball every now and again.
Something he said was interesting. He said he wanted to get back to sports that are actually better. Well, if you're paying attention to the NBA and you were watching the Bulls over the weekend, I know there was a lot going on. They actually played well. And this is after, as I said, they played well in the loss.
Right.
Before these two wins, they're playing a better brand of basketball.
Yeah, but I think, Dan, that people are giving credit to the wrong person on why the Bulls are playing a better brand of basketball. It's very convenient because of the timing. But if you look a little closer, there might be at least one other candidate that you might want to take a look at and say, oh, that's interesting.
I know who I think by a mile is most responsible.
I think we're on the same page. We'll share this with the people next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Beverly, why not? You gotta be kidding me! Patrick Beverly, another three! That brings Eric Spoelstra off the bench! DeRozan shreds the Miami interior defense and lays it in with the right hand. This ball game is gonna be over, Bill. Bulls eat the clock, 8 seconds to go. Duncan Robinson, little advance over the timeline. Ball game over. Bulls win! Big time win! For your Chicago Bulls, 113-99, they sweep the season series. The Heat be straight.
That's our guy, Chuck. He and Bill Wennington
that
will be.
That game got a little nervous, though.
Yeah, I know.
Because the Bulls were up, what, 26?
25 and a half, right?
And then Miami started doing stuff, and there's Max Strus. The Strus was loose!
But you'll hear the game tonight against the Sixers. It's a 6 o'clock start here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. So 5:45 pregame is what I would imagine. And the Bulls have won 2 in a row. And they have been doing it by playing big boy basketball in a way. They're actually shooting more threes.
One person in particular is shooting more threes.
Well,
it's very exciting.
You're talking, of course, about Patrick Beverly.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not, even though there's been a bunch of stories about Patrick Beverly, and I'm not trying to downplay his impact on the team. I think it's been significant. There's been something that I've been looking for all season long. And before the season started, Dan and I were talking about DeMar DeRozan in three-point shooting. The whole reason that I brought it up is because if you look at Kobe's end of his career, he increased his three-point shooting. And DeMar is a Kobe disciple. So to me, it felt very simple that he could look at his mentor's game and say, how can my game evolve? What I wanted for DeMar DeRozan, I didn't want him to turn into Steph Curry. I don't want him taking, you know, 9, 10 threes in a game. 4 was the number that I wanted. And he's had a couple of years in his career where he's been around there. Like one of his, was his best year is 15, where he was around
2018, I think.
18? Was his last year? Was that his last year in Toronto? That's what it was. In the 2018 season, look at his game log over the last seven games. 1-for-4, 0-for-2, 2-for-3, 4-for-6, 2-for-4, 2-for-4. Over the last, that's what he's shooting from three. That's right there.
It's not the only part of his game that has been notable. His defense has been outstanding. He has been in passing lanes. He has been overplaying when he knows what the other team is running and cutting off passes before they occur. I don't know what got into him. I don't know if he's healthy physically in a way that for him to have come back off of how many minutes did he play Friday night?
52.
52 minutes.
And then gave you 41 against Miami.
For a 34-year-old to have a late-night 52-minute game, to have someone who takes care of their body enough and eats and sleeps right to be able to come back and give you what he gave you, I thought there was no chance he'd be able to do that. But he's been terrific.
If you look at the stretch since the beginning of March, he's had three games where he's had seven assists or more, including Saturday's game where he went 24-10, 24-10-5 for DeMar. This, to me, is what his game should look like as it ages. And I don't know if DeMar's really smart, like really understands the game, but is also stubborn in his game has been his game and it's effective and it's gotten him to All-Stars and it's gotten him paid hundreds of millions of dollars.
Gotten him the respect of a lot of his peers, too.
A ton, like almost every, like universally respected in the NBA because of the way that he goes about his business. But this is the way that I was having a discussion with some people about it on Twitter yesterday. I think this is how he can extend his career. Be the guy that when we need it, when we need a bucket, we know that we can go to you in isolation, give you the ball, and let you do your thing. But outside of that, because of the attention that you're going to draw, it offers an opportunity for him to be more facilitator. And if he's just taking more threes, with this, if you want to look at it from the perspective of the Bulls themselves, if you just look at the way that the Bulls play, him taking more threes opens up more things for other people. It makes them a more dangerous offensive team than him playing two-point ball.
Well, however, when he did play two-point ball, I wasn't mad. I think I've got a pretty good sense of a good Bulls shot or a bad Bulls shot. I think that I've watched this team closely enough and often enough that you know it by shot clock, you know it by score and situation, and most importantly, by how they're being defended. And when the entire middle of the floor is open and guys are biting on are getting hung up on that screen and or they're not staying down on his head fakes, go do you. Because as long as I can understand that if that's happening in the third quarter, what that's going to do for shooters staying home on the perimeter there, if I trust, like you say, that things happen in a logical order, that you're tearing them up from two in there because that's the space. Then later, when they're going to have to send somebody, then you kick it and you rotate and you pop and you find that guy. And they're pretty good about it. I think the Bulls, to some extent, in that respect, are unselfish to a fault. I think I would like some of their shooters to be a little more aware. Like, you know, Kobe White is at the point now where you can be a little contested, and I'm cool with you shooting, rather than Caruso or Io or someone else. Like, Patrick, I've been trying to tell him, don't pass up threes. Don't pass up threes.
They've been trying to tell him that.
Don't pass up threes.
Like in the moment, they've been trying to tell him that.
For whatever reason, they've been playing more sensible basketball. That will be tested tonight.
And maybe that is a byproduct of Patrick Beverley being there and the minutes that he's playing on the floor. Maybe he's the guy that has said to DeMar, you know, if you just took a step back, that shot's worth more. And it can do more for our offense.
Or two steps back, and that way your next step is your more comfortable movement
into your shot.
He's not a catch and shoot guy. DeMar is not.
He's a rhythm shooter.
Get it in the pocket. He's off his own bounce. And there will be times where you're going to be able to have yourself in a rhythm as if you're off the dribble shooting a three. And he's just got to be more conscious of preparing for that catch.
I want this all the time. And if you're telling me that even without Lonzo, if this is the Bulls team that I can get behind this. It needs additions. It needs more three-point shooting overall. But I can get behind this. The problem is you haven't really had a stretch. Like, Zach's March has been amazing. Like, he's been one of the best players in the NBA in March. He's clearly, like, fully healthy now, and you're seeing all of his game on display. And I also feel like you're seeing a little bit of ebb and flow between those two guys instead of it's my turn. It's more like it's your turn. And that's a distinction.
Yes, and.
Right. That's what you're seeing them do. Will that happen against some really good teams when it matters? I don't know. But it's been fun to watch them. And since Beverly joined the team, they're 7-4. He says they should be 9-2. Well, if you guard at the end of those games, maybe you would be 9-2.
He said it a little more colorfully.
The Bulls are now 7-4 since you've joined the team. How would you describe the impact that you tried to bring in?
Should be 9-2.
He's right.
He is right.
No lies told there.
But it just is so fun. And I know that there have been moments where DeMar, you can kind of look and say, oh, whether it's contract time or the beginning of the season where it's in his head to shoot more threes. I know that there have been times when that's happened. I really hope that what we're seeing is not an outlier, but a trend of him advancing his game, evolving as a basketball player, and knowing that those shots are going to be there. They're going to, and they needed it Friday and Saturday. There are going to be moments when ISO DeMar is the best option for the Bulls in a particular play. There's going to be time for that. But I think he's such a smart player. Like, he's so damn, like, he's such a baller that I'm like, come on, DeMar. Like, you can see what's happening here. I know that you can see what's happening here. You're too smart to not see what's happening here. So I hope that this is what we're watching, is a guy being like, huh, I can add this to my game, and it doesn't really take away from what I was doing before. That's my hope.
Well, I just wonder how much of this carries over into tonight when every bit of your focus has to be on what do we do about the guy who's probably going to be the close runner-up in the MVP race.
Some places he have him as the favorite now.
I've seen that. You can say that Patrick Williams has been drawing this assignment, and Patrick Williams should get first crack at being
crack.
He should be the first line of defense, quite literally, against him. But there's got to be more than that. You've got to have a plan for making somebody else beat you.
We'll see. They can't beat him. They haven't.
They haven't beaten him.
Him.
Ever.
Ever, Jerry.
We've got High Noon coming up next. I have an F around and find out moment that was really fun.
I have something that was very entertaining from the tournament. Plus, I went and saw Creed 3 this weekend. I've got a review.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Time for High Noon on this Monday. Will be the first day of spring. We're not quite there yet. They're saying, what is it, 4:30 or 4:45, the actual time for the vernal equinox. So we got to wait a little. It's still winter, technically, as we speak.
Well, it's not. It's been meteorological spring since March 1st.
Of the month, correct. So. But it hasn't been officially
calendar
spring. It's spring
again. Everybody knows it's spring again.
We've enjoyed talking about the tournament. We've enjoyed dancing on Purdue's grave and really one of the worst losses possible. One of the unimaginably bad losses. And everybody knew it as they felt it. And yeah. It was just brutal and fun to make fun of. So we did. And also talked about the potential matchup between Michigan State and Tennessee. I said, just get the right refs for that one, and that's going to be...
Let that rock fight happen.
Yeah, go let those older, bigger dudes and older coaches, I mean, there's just go at it for a while. And Pete Futek gave us his wacky thoughts on wacky things. He's pretty good.
Yes.
For a football guy, pretty good on some of the basketball stuff. I like getting – he doesn't have any real skin in the game. He's not protecting anybody.
Yeah, Wisconsin's not in the tournament, so.
No.
He doesn't care.
No. So that was always fun. And an ode to the play of DeMar DeRozan, who lately has, on both ends of the floor, been the primary reason why the Bulls have been good.
Watching the tournament has been a lot of fun. You get a bunch of different broadcasters at different times of day, and you don't know how tired they are from doing the game for. This was fun because Kevin Harlan is my favorite. Like, he's just my favorite. There's not even a close second. He's my favorite. And they had to do promos because obviously that's part of the reason that you pay billions of dollars that you could promote your other stuff. Like Queen Latifah's show, The Equalizer.
Mensa up for the rebound, foul, Aztecs.
I love CBS. Sorry, Kevin. See, come on, Stan. I know this is Broadcasting 101. I got to talk about Queen Latifah and The Equalizer tomorrow on CBS after 60 minutes. Don't miss Queen Latifah as The Equalizer, seeking justice for those like Stan Van Gundy with nowhere to turn. New episode tomorrow on CBS and streaming as always on Paramount Plus. Now,
well, you know what they call that, right, Kevin? Well, it's a rookie mistake. When you're dealing with rookies, I mean, those are the things that are going to happen. Moments of brilliance surrounded by a lot of mistakes. And I promise a moment of brilliance is coming at some point.
No, you've had it
game
all week.
Five. We haven't had it yet, but I promise it's coming.
If there is an episode of The Equalizer that involves Queen Latifah fighting for justice for Stan Van Gundy, I'm in.
I gotta talk about Queen Latifah.
Gotta have Kevin Harlan on there too.
Well, I'm just like, that's the episode I'm there for.
I think they're running out of episodes.
Well,
I think this is the final season of The Equalizer.
I think they stumbled. Well, it's finally equalized.
I think it's finally been equalized.
Once it's equalized, she can retire.
3 seasons.
My work here is done.
Running around New York beating up people.
All things.
Come on, Stan. I know this is Broadcasting 101. I gotta talk about Queen Latifah.
Speaking of walking around New York beating people up. There's a video that's making the rounds that is so much fun. There was a drag story hour event in New York City on Sunday. And this was near the LGBTQ Community Center in Manhattan's West Village. And that's just a short walk from the iconic Stonewall Inn which is, if you really know anything about the LGBTQ rights movement, that's where
it
this
started.
Is the epicenter of it. And there were protesters who came in to protest Drag Story Hour.
Because this has become very popular over the last few months, that is the reason for the collapse of our republic.
Sure, wearing different clothing is terrifying to some people, and those very scared people, two of which were called themselves members of the Proud Boys, and they showed up in their Proud Boys gear with their, you know, black neoprene tactical things and all their military cosplay and wraparound sunglasses, and they got the bejesus beaten out of them. So there's a video going around of the guy with blood all over his face. And he says, "I came here to help, not get the bleep beat out of me." And there are just counter protesters all over the place who are screaming, "F the Proud Boys, go back to Long Island."
Go back to Long Island thing. It was wow.
Or Staten Island. Really, if you're really telling the truth, it's much more likely Staten Island. And it's hilarious. And they don't know what to do. And there's this one goober ass probably telling the other, like, "Hey, we got to get out of here.
We got to regroup.
We got to get out of here." And all these photographers, he's like, "Why are you taking my picture?" Like, ripped his mask off and started taking pictures of him. And then they actually had to go to the police to ask for protection,
for safety,
for their own safety. They went with their tails between their legs to the police. And it was... You don't actually see him get hit. You just see him bleeding. But it's very, 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 very satisfying.
They weren't too proud to beg for help. So I went to go see Creed 3. And I think my run of watching movies at the Chatham Theater on 87th Street has come to an end.
Why? You love that. It's like an extra layer of entertainment.
I do. It was a little out of control on Saturday afternoon. Babies crying. Like, there was a lot. Like, kids just kind of running up and down.
You're getting into some Daryl Dawkins here.
I know.
Kids running, babies crying.
It's a lot. But anyway.
The cake shake of the baby maker.
The movie. It's a Rocky movie, right? So it's formulaic. You kind of know how things are probably going to turn out. What I was impressed by, I always love when Jonathan Majors does his stuff.
He's the it guy right now.
Yeah, he's the guy right now that you want, especially in the role of a heavy. And those two guys look incredible. Like, they really put in work to get their bodies to it. Yeah, you would think that there might be a little bit of that going on.
They're allowed.
Sure, there's no one who's judging them.
It's not a competition.
Yeah, yeah, they're getting ready for movies and stuff. I was really impressed because Michael B. Jordan directed this. He made some really interesting choices with how he would depict the fight scenes. He's a huge anime fan.
So was it like a Tarantino thing where they went to...
Well,
like a fantasy version of what was going on, like in Kill Bill kind of thing?
Yes. There is a moment inside. There's a... In one of the rounds... The fight is at Dodger Stadium, and they completely just isolate the two men in the ring, and they block out everything. It's a really cool effect that they put on it. And then with some of the blows, they would isolate on that, and it would be shown almost like if you're watching someone get punched in anime. So they'd slow-mo it. And you'd see, like, the damage. You'd see the sweat fly off of the Michael B. Jordan's back. Like, it was a really... The choices
that
he made...
Well, that goes back to Rocky II. That was an effect that was used in Rocky II as well, with the super slow-mo and, like, the rattling jaw.
Yeah, I think that if you want to go see it just for the movie making, it's good. It's fine. It's a Rocky movie. But... I thought that Michael B. Jordan really took some risk and did some... some of the shots were so cool. And I was impressed. Like, that was my biggest takeaway. That and The young lady who plays his daughter, Mila Davis Kent, who is a hearing impaired actor, she's outstanding. If being able to act without being able to use your voice, incredible. She did a phenomenal job. It is a high recommend for me because it's one of those movies where you'll be like, oh, wow, look at this and look at this. And this mirrored shot that they did. And you can tell that Michael B. Jordan has really learned the craft.
I'm pleasantly surprised because usually that first moment that the star gets to direct is, shall we say, rocky.
No pun intended.
Well, pun intended. But good for him. Good for him. Because I hope he's as good a dude as he seems like he is.
Yeah, and I also think the chemistry between them, and if you've seen any of like the press junket stuff with them, they seem to really like each other.
Well, there's been some controversy there about how some of that love has been depicted.
Yeah, but there's also another thing that happened on Black Twitter. There's this young woman who interviewed both of them. I'll show you the video. This young woman who interviewed both of them, she walks off and she's very curvy, and both of them just went. They turned their heads.
Automatically.
Oh my God. It was a nice long look from Mr. Majors on that. But their relationship comes across. The relationship that they have with Tessa Thompson comes across. I really appreciated the movie making. Like, shout out to Michael B. Jordan for taking some risks, doing some fun, cool stuff, and reimagining the Rocky franchise in a different way. And there's some stuff that I think is kind of cool that gets paid off in this. Like, there are some repaired relationships that get paid off for me. The only thing that I would have appreciated is, and it's a Rocky movie, it was clear that the two combatants could have really used some therapy. And had someone actually taken one or the other or both to therapy, they would not have had to have gone into the ring. Just something else that could be added to where we're at when we're making movies. I was like, oh, you know what he needs? He needs a therapist. Not his wife. He needs his therapist to talk about some of this stuff. It was good.
That is High Noon. Next up, baseball talk with someone who covers the Cubs and is covering the WBC. Aram Layton, the co-founder and executive editor at JustBaseball.com, is going to give us his thoughts as we got to start getting ourselves into that baseball mentality a little bit. It's coming soon. What are we, a week from Thursday already?
Yeah.
It's opening day.
We're here.
Right? We're here. All right. He's next on the Score.
I got to talk about Queen Latifah.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.